Blog Talk Radio.
I am still getting over the initial shock. The innocent-looking letter arrived from my doctor on April 11th. I quickly opened it, read through it, and everything looked pretty normal. Test results all negative, except one. My hemoglobin A1C was elevated. It is a blood test that's used to monitor the control of blood sugars. It indicated that I had type 2 diabetes. I had two choices: do nothing, and the insulin shots and medication would soon follow, or immediately change my eating habits, exercise, and permanently change my lifestyle. Listen to today's show and find out what I did next. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Well, hello, everyone. We are getting our, let me see if I can get things going here. Thought my theme music would come on. There we go. Have to have a little theme music to get things going, especially with our topic today. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. It's a great day here in Boston. I am out and about in the city, and certainly I hope wherever you are and whenever you're listening, you are having a very productive day. Well, as I had said, this was quite a life-changing experience for me. I have had pretty good health. I must knock on wood and thank God upstairs that my health has been pretty good. I have relatives, my brother, my sister-in-law have had some pretty significant health challenges. And certainly in my family, health issues, heart issues, strokes, high blood pressure, and now diabetes as well, have been center stage in terms of the members of my family. So I knew what was around the corner for me. And I let time lapse and decided 10 years ago, once I lost a lot of weight, to just sort of put it back on. I didn't decide to do that, but the discipline in me waned, waxed, waned, and then ultimately things slipped, and I gained a lot of weight. Fast forward, I went to the doctor. I had a battery of tests, which I normally do in terms of a physical, and then this letter arrived. And it was not a slow wake-up call. It was a very quick wake-up call. I decided literally at that moment that things were going to have to change. And at 61 years old, I had a lot of living left in me, and I wanted to do it as productively as possible with as little medication as possible and doing things so that I was making very smart choices. Like you, I see all the commercials, I see all the advertisements, I read the articles, I hear the interviews, but you say to yourself mentally, that doesn't pertain to me, and I don't have to really worry about it because my situation is different. Now, you probably said the same thing as well. And then you find yourself where you get this letter. I'm looking at it right now from my doctor. He's a fabulous doctor. He's not even taking any more patients. He has such a great patient load. But I'm looking right now, and he said, as you can see from the enclosed, the blood sugar was a particular level, which in and of itself wasn't bad. But more importantly was your hemoglobin A1C. This is the blood test that we use to monitor for control of blood sugars. He gave me the number that my hemoglobin A1C was, and he said, this means that you have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. Now, this was the very important sentence that came after that, after the shock just hit my face. I said, oh, no, not me, but yes, it was happening to me. He said, at this point, it is unclear whether we need to get you on medication for this. The first step, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. The letter goes on and says the first step will be some lifestyle changes, including reducing your weight and cutting out all concentrated sweets and sugar. And the letter goes on, he said this will make a significant difference without putting you on medication. However, if your numbers remain elevated over the next several months, I will be recommending that we get you started on medication. And then the letter goes on and says, I want to see you at the end of the summer to make that determination. Well, the first time I read that letter, all I saw was the type 2 diabetes and the weight loss. That's all I saw. Then I had to read the letter again to really see and understand what he was saying and looking at all of my test results. So this was really a staggered process and something that took several days to really comprehend. But the first thing that I did, the very first thing that I did, was that I immediately changed my food habits. I was on Weight Watchers in 2002, 2003, over the course of probably a year. So I had all of my old books. I knew, what was needed. Go on Weight Watchers again. I decided that I was strong enough and disciplined enough and capable enough to really take care of this on my end. A person who journals every day, which I do, and there's certain habits that I do on a regular basis without being nudged by anyone, I figured that because empowerment begins when you believe in yourself, that this is something that I could really take care of myself. So I decided immediately that the food that I was eating was going to have to change, that I was going to have to eat smaller portions, I was going to have to eat more regularly, and certainly fruits and vegetables were going to be a mainstay of what I was going to consume. Now, the fruits and vegetables, not a problem. I love fruits and vegetables, but I also love cake, and I love breads, and I love French fries and all of those things that clearly were packing on the pounds. And those items were going to have to be either eliminated and cut out or reduced dramatically. So I decided to look at what I was eating and look at ways where I needed to cut down and to really monitor the food that I was intaking. And in future shows, what I'm going to do, because this is going to be part of the repertoire that I cover with my programs, I will walk you through some of the food groups and the significance of them, because I've done a lot of research on it now. I knew that keeping the weight off, and I did this successfully probably through 2005 or 6, was journaling and writing down the food that I ate every day. It seems tedious, and a lot of people hate to think about it, and you say, I can't do that. But that was what really worked for me. And I knew that I had to do it and keep it as simple as possible. So this is what I've done for almost 6 weeks, is that I've taken index cards. And I've put the date at the top, and breakfast, lunch, dinner, and whatever snacks I have, everything goes on that particular index card. And then I'll tell you in just a little while what I do next. So the index card system for me works. I'll eventually probably put them in a binder, but at least I know I have it. Me in gear for thinking about what I'm going to eat because of an association. It's not only what I eat and consume, but then I've got to tell on myself, and I have to write it down. So I decided that I was going to discipline myself again to do that, because that was a very large part of the weight loss piece. And I knew that weight loss and exercise were the key in what my doctor had said. Number two is I was going to make this a game. I knew I didn't want it to be drudgery. It was not going to be a diet. I call it food management, the FM words for me, food management, not a diet. So it was an opportunity for me to discipline myself through food management, documenting really this lifestyle change that I have to be about. So that began on April 12th. And it has continued through today. I've had one or two days where I've been busy and I haven't had a chance to do this properly, and I do it the next day. But I don't want to get that far behind, And the way I'm handling this is because of the work that I do, and I do travel, and I actually have a board meeting right after this meeting, this radio segment that I'm doing, and there's going to be food there. So I know I can't change the things that take place in the course of my day, but I certainly can change how I react to food and what I do about food. I teach a cultural competency class, and the food that is served at the class is delicious and wonderful. And sometimes there are sweets there that I can't relinquish, and the temptation is quite great. So what I do is I take a smaller portion. I would normally take a whole piece of cake and eat the whole thing. As of yesterday, there was delicious cake at the facility where I take care of it. I actually facilitate this cultural competency class. I didn't eat a whole piece of cake. I ate like half a piece of cake, and I accommodated for it and adjusted my meal because I was eating something sweet. So that's the way I'm going to approach this. Now, I don't eat. That was really the first piece of cake I had in 6 weeks. And I've had like half a cookie instead of a full cookie, and probably the first cookie I've had in the last 6 weeks or so. So it's a matter of modification, but just telling myself this is food management, this is lifestyle change, and in order for me to age gracefully without medication, and because I have a pretty full plate that I want to do and be about for the next several years, this is really what I have to do. Let me share with you information about what the American Diabetes Association, the organization that monitors diabetes here in the United States, says about type 2 diabetes. And I go to that website quite a bit. I'll give you that website address in just a few minutes. Diabetes is a problem with your body that causes blood glucose, that's sugar, levels to rise higher than normal. This is called hypoglycemia. Type 2 diabetes is the most common form of diabetes. In fact, many people I know, particularly in the African-American community, because of our diet and obesity issues, type 2 diabetes is very, very common in a pretty alarming way. If you have, this is what the American Diabetes Association continues to say, if you have type 2 diabetes, your body does not use insulin properly. This is called insulin resistance. At first, your pancreas makes extra insulin to make up for that, but over time, it isn't able to keep up and can't make enough insulin to keep your blood glucose at normal levels. So that is a rough-cut definition of type 2 diabetes. If you go to my website, that's tellcarole.com, TellCarole.com, and go to today's blog, that's the May 20th, 2015 blog, you'll see an image of sort of describing type 2 diabetes and what pancreas inheritance and and weight loss, weight gain, obesity, all of those things contributing factors to diabetes. You'll actually see how I play it out, and it's on the blog today. This radio program is also going to be on the blog, and I will put it up as soon as this show has ended. And the websites that I'm going to refer to you are also there as well. So that's a quick snapshot. This is different from type 1 diabetes. When you have type 1 diabetes, you don't have any options. I have options now to lose weight, exercise, and stay off medication. The other option with type 1 is insulin and medication. There are no other options. You're immediately put on. And so, fortunately, I don't have that, but I do have type 2. The website for the American Diabetes Association is www.diabetes.org, diabetes.org, diabetes.org. That is the website for the American Diabetes Association. I've picked up a couple of magazines. Better Homes and Gardens has a diabetes magazine that features lots of recipes and lifestyle changes, et cetera. You can also go to the diabetes.org website. They have recommended magazines, lots of information. You can go to YouTube and find out also those particulars. There are literally video, many, many video clips that can give you more information about that. Now, the one thing that I also learned at the diabetes.org website are the proportions of food that I need to think about and have. And typically, it's if you look at a plate or a circle, and you can look at that again at their website, there are indications in terms of just how you can break that pie up, pie plate, should I say. If you take your pencil and go down the middle of that circle that plate and then draw another circle, and then draw another line so you have a vertical line down the middle and a vertical line down the horizontal part of the pie chart, think of the right-hand side and those two quadrants on the white right-hand side and filling up your plate with fruits and vegetables. That's the way that the American Diabetes Association describes it. On the left side, the bottom quadrant could be your meat or fish or your protein item. And then the right quadrant can be a starch. It can be rice. Sweet potatoes are very big. They really like, and I like sweet potatoes, thank goodness, more so than white potatoes. Kioni is another grain that is highly recommended. So again, we will go more into this going forward. We're probably going to bring a nutritionist on and talk about the importance of that. But if you think about that circle that's been divided up into four quadrants, the right-hand side, quadrant number 3 and 4, should I say, should be vegetables and all the healthy stuff, fruits, et cetera, should go over there. The left-hand side, bottom quadrant, would be your meat or your protein products. Protein also can be an egg. I'm eating more and more hard-boiled eggs. And then the top quadrant would be your starch products to the lesser degree. So you want to eat less and less starch, a modest amount of like a fist size of your protein or your meats or chicken or poultry or whatever, and then the rest your vegetables and salads. I eat a lot of, I actually have a salad now that I'm going to be eating later on. So the fun part, the game part for me is going to be mastering all of these different foods. And in fact, foods that I probably haven't even thought about and haven't eaten, I want to think about that because I want to live and I don't want to go on medication. The last thing about food for now is I want to recommend, not only did I have the index card and I'm writing down all my foods, I then use an app on my smartphone that is also connected with a program, an online website on my laptop called CalorieCount.com, CalorieCount.com. And again, this website, you can link it from my blog. The information is there as well. This is where I take that index card and I plug it in every day to an account that I've set up that not only logs what food I've eaten, but it further breaks it down with the nutritional value, because it's not just the food you eat, it's how the nutrition is being allocated within that particular food group. So every food I eat, hard-boiled eggs, I eat a lot of blueberries now because that's good for you, lettuce, chicken, sandwiches, turkey sandwiches, I've now reduced and I eat a very low-fat cheese. If I'm going to have a sandwich, I like Swiss cheese, so instead of 50 or 60 calories, this has 35 calories. It's been processed differently. So all of those things are put in CalorieCount.com, and they have many, they have thousands of food groups and where you bought the food. If you go to Wegmans, Wegmans has now come to the Boston area, and so they have, let's say, cheese that would be coming from Wegmans or blueberries from Wegmans. I'm just sort of making up these particular foods. They have food that comes from Walmart. They have food that comes from various restaurants, restaurant chains around the country. And what they then do is two very interesting things, is that they take that food and they break it up into what the nutritional value is in terms of carbohydrates. Sodium is a big, big thing. The sugars, vitamin A, vitamin C, potassium, calcium, all of those nutritional elements that make up food products are then allocated, the food is allocated based on what those nutritional items, and you can literally see what they are. And then the nifty thing is that CalorieCount.com then grades the food. Ooh, and I just looked at a food that I wanted to try today and was not getting good grades. I won't eat that much of it because I have a lot of salad that I'm going to eat, but it literally grades it from A to F. There are some foods that are not graded because they don't have enough information on them to grade it, but they have literally thousands of foods that are graded. So going back to April 12th, when I started all this, not only do I have these index cards, but I also have all the food that I have eaten since April 12th is in this program called CalorieCount.com. Now, this is the bonus for you, is that it is absolutely free of charge, costs nothing. They have pop-up ads that come up and stuff. I can live with that. But this is a free app that you can use to really monitor your health. The other component, and again, we'll talk more about food going forward. The other component that I have to watch is exercise, is that I have to exercise. My goal is to exercise 3 to 5 times a week, at least a half an hour. I'm working on that. I'm not quite there yet. The other day, 2 days ago, it was raining here, and I knew that I needed to get some exercise in, and I had my running shoes in the car. I stopped the car, put the shoes on. It was drizzling lightly, and I did my walk around Jamaica Pond. If you live in the Boston area, you know about Jamaica Pond, beautiful pond where people go. It's a mile and a half circumference. It takes me about 25 minutes or so. And I did my walk around, and I posted it, and I was wet. I was really wet. I'm not going to get sick. Really wet, but I felt great. And typically, that's my Sunday routine. I leave my church that's located in the Jamaica Pond area of Boston, and I go there, put the shoes on, and I walk around, and I feel wonderful. It's very multicultural there, too. Everybody goes there, so you see a wide range of ethnicities that go to Jamaica Pond. So that's what I do. And so the exercise is something that I'm really trying to concentrate and work on. What at least I try to do is some Pilates or stretching. And, again, another free source is I go to my cable network. I'm a cable subscriber and pay a fair amount of money every month, so I might as well use these channels. And there are free exercise on-demand channels that I take advantage of. And I'm Tanya Nettles is the little Pilates instructor that I am devoted to now. And so I will do Pilates for about 15 minutes. It's a great way to stretch the body out. I typically do it in the morning because I'm a morning exercise person from that perspective, and unless I'm walking outside. And so that is what I'm doing. That is my routine. I try to vary the routines. I do some arm exercises. Again, with these on-demand programs, I have some 5-pound weights that I use, so I need to really build my upper body because it needs it. It really needs it. So I want to, again, make this fun. I want to make it a happy experience for me, and I want to learn. So what I've done, to recap, is I read the letter, obviously. I got over the initial shock. I figured out what do I need to do. I'm still learning how to comprehend these test results that I received. And I went to a website called NewportNaturalHealth.com that teaches you how to read the numbers in the lab reports that you get. So I am exploring and absorbing that information. So had to understand that first, then had to immediately put myself on a food management program, so that I would not go to any of the weight loss clinics or et cetera. I just didn't want to go that route. So that's working. And the exercise, 3 to 5 times a week. And again, when I use the CalorieCount.com system, they praise you and they celebrate you when you exercise. You get points and those kind of things. And you also, every day, at the end of the day, when you finish eating, you tabulate everything, and you have to make comments about how has your day gone. I choose to keep my comments private. You can have it. You can have the comments opened up to the public if you want via social media. That's not my purpose. I want to keep my comments to myself, but I do that. And then I go to the analysis, and with the analysis, it shows me all the food that I've eaten and what it is in terms of the contributing factors in terms of nutrition. So am I intaking too much sodium? And my diet calls for, my food management program calls for 13 milligrams of sodium intake a day, and typically I'm over that. So that's something I have to really work on in terms of food management. And then the potassium intake, which is low most of the time for me, which means I probably have to supplement it with some vitamins. And calcium intake, which also tends to be kind of low. For me, vitamin A, vitamin C, have no problems with that. And the sugar also is under control. It's the saturated fats, it's the fats, it's the carbohydrates. Those are the items that I have to work on, and I'm able to see exactly what they are because all the food that I have eaten is regimented and put in CalorieCount.com. The beauty of all this, after 6 weeks, is that I have lost 20 pounds. That's the beauty of it. It has just melted off 20 pounds. My goal is 50 pounds over the next course of a few months or so, and maintaining that level throughout my lifestyle, my lifetime. That's what I'm working on. That's my goal. It's exciting to know that I've lost 20 pounds and I've done it in a sensible way, because the sensibility of it is going to keep me on track. I could not go into all lettuce diet or an all carrot juice diet. It just was not going to work for me. My days are too long. I have too many responsibilities. I need to really do it in a sensible way. So the sensible way for me was, number one, writing everything down on these index cards and then keeping all the index cards together. They'll ultimately be transferred over to a binder, but the index cards work for right now. Number two, recreating that same food journal on CalorieCount.com, so that it's telling me what my nutritional values are. It gives me a grade every day based on the food that I've eaten. It tabulates all of the calories, and then I transfer that calorie amount onto the index card and the grade. So I can go through and really see what I've eaten and what I need to eat. That's the exciting part of it. So we'll talk more about this in the coming weeks. I just wanted to share this with you. Please go to the blog. You can see the websites that I'm going to that are already up there. This show will be archived as well. And I hope that this show will encourage you to do the same thing should you get that kind of letter. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great week or weekend, Memorial Weekend as well. We'll talk to you the next time. Take care. We'll see you soon.